She Evolved, a podcast dedicated to empowering women through storytelling. I am your host, Sashay. Take this journey with me as I show you how to turn adversity into power and discover the beauty within. Welcome to part 3 of Turning Adversity into Power, the mini-series. Yes, again, we are outside. As I mentioned before, I love being outside. It brings me so much inner peace and joy, and I just feel like it reminds me of all of the beauty in life. So here we are. I am sitting with Lennon.
Hello.
We are going to be talking about from she to non-binary and what that means. So Lennon, I'll kind of let you take the charge of that. Tell me when you discovered that you were non-binary and what that experience was like for you, and kind of explain what non-binary is.
Yeah, for sure. So discovering that I was non-binary was a bit of a process for me, because I began to kind of have an inkling that something didn't feel right in my own skin. And so when I want to say like a senior in high school, I was like, well, okay, so I don't necessarily feel comfortable under like the title like woman. However, I don't feel necessarily right under the term man. So I was like, does this mean like I'm transgender? Like, what does this mean? Because at that time, like, I didn't have enough knowledge.
You didn't have enough knowledge to know what it meant to be non-binary and what. You just felt that something that you didn't identify with being a woman.
Right.
Okay.
And so then I got into college, and my freshman year was kind of like all over the place. But then my sophomore year, I became best friends with someone who is currently non-binary. And as I kind of talked to them about like what it means to be non-binary, I very like quickly like realized this might be my identity. And so
what was that like for you to come to that realization? Like, wow, this is who I am.
It was kind of like one of those things where you kind of like discover something about yourself and you're like, wait a second, like, is this who I really am? Or am I just kind of like going through a period of time where I feel like this? And so then we all got sent home for the semester. During the spring semester of my sophomore year because of COVID.
Fuck COVID! Fuck coronavirus! Excuse my language, but damn, COVID fucks up everything, but go ahead.
Right. but it was, like, quarantine for me, like, so my relationship with my family is an interesting one, and I love my family, but I ended up spending a lot of time in my room just kind of meditating and journaling and, like, thinking about, like, in depth who it is that I am.
Wow. I think that's amazing. And so many of us need to do that. And I'm actually taking that journey right now of just taking a second to sit and understand where I've been and where I'm going and and who I am. And I would love to hear about what non-binary is and what exactly it means, because I feel like a lot of people don't know what it means to be non-binary.
Right. And so the thing about being non-binary is, I think part of the reason I didn't discover like this part of my identity sooner is because I didn't know it was an option for me. And so being non-binary is essentially, it's kind of like whatever the person makes it to be. It's a very, I feel like, and this is what I love about like the label non-binary, is it's a very, at least from my perspective, it's a very like intimate label, because it is what you make it to be. It's kind of like the label without a label. It's kind of like you don't necessarily fall under the label like, I am a woman, this is who I am, and I am female, and you're not male. Where it's like, I am a man, and I am male. It's kind of like, okay, like, I fall somewhere in between. Mm-hmm. It's the label where, for me, it means like having people not put me in a box where it's like, oh, like, that's a woman. And it's like, no, I mean, like, today I might be wearing a dress, mm-hmm. and like, you know, like, appear like more sensitive or whatever, but like, that's not who I am always. Like, there are other days where I'll show up and I'll be in a suit and I'll be like, well, I mean, I've I'm not a man either.
This is what we're wearing today.
This is what we're wearing today. So it's
my clothing does not determine my gender and my identity.
Right, exactly. And so I really do think it's an amazing kind of like label to fall under, because it's essentially, from my perspective, and again, like, it's different for every non-binary person. And I think there's something really beautiful about that, because when you kind of take on the label non-binary, it's like, it's kind of, at least for me, it was like saying, okay, like, I don't necessarily like consider myself in either of like these like camps of like binary gender.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I am just a person, and like that is how I want to be viewed. I don't want people to put me in a box.
In a box. You don't want to feel closed in. You don't want to feel like labeled like that.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I understand that. I think that for me, I don't know a lot about being non-binary and what mm-hmm. that means exactly, but I would love to learn
mm-hmm.
and understand. And I feel like a lot of people are coming from that same place. Obviously, some people aren't because they're dumb.
Right.
But but I think that a lot of people just want to really understand and, you know, develop those relationships with people who are different from them. You
right.
know? And so I appreciate you telling your story so much, and I would love to really know, to really get what the family structure is like within your household and how that impacted your identity.
Right. So for a lot of like people within the LGBTQ community, family structure and community structure in general, depending on where you are in the world, what the culture is like, can affect a lot on how open you are about your identity. And, if you're open with anyone about what your identity is. And so for me, that definitely played a role, because by the time I came out as non-binary, I had already come out to my family before, because I came out to them when I was 16 as bisexual.
Okay.
So, I'd already kind of gone through that process, but the first time I can remember, it was kind of scary for me, and it's always scary, because you can know someone, you know, for years and years and years, and you know, when you give them this piece of information, like,
how are they going to react to it? You
right.
have no idea.
You have no idea, and you have no control over mm-hmm. in those situations, other than the fact that you're controlling what information you're giving them.
Yep.
Right. And so I was nervous because my father is a pastor in the Methodist Church.
Mm-hmm.
And as of right now, in that denomination of Christianity, same-sex marriage is not allowed within that denomination. So I was very nervous about telling my dad, like, oh yeah, like, so I like men, but I also like people of other genders too, you know, because I didn't know how he was going to react, and
or if he was going to accept you as you are.
Exactly. And so I my coming out process kind of became a gradual thing. So first I, you know, like, I told my friends, because my friends, like, growing up were always very accepting.
And so you started within the inner layer of comfort, and then
right
went out further and further to those that you felt like might be a little bit skeptical. So starting with your really close friends, because you knew they would accept you.
Right, right. And so once I did that, you know, I told my mother, because my mother has a lot of LGBTQ friends. And so I knew that, like there was some, like, level of, like, okay, well, if I do, like, the one parent first, then it'll be easier to do the next parent.
Yeah.
Because, like, for that, it was like, okay, this is like my trial run for like the people that it might be a bit harder to come out to.
And then your mom can go in supporting you when you have that conversation with your dad. If you
right.
Okay.
Right. So when I finally came out to my dad, I think it's kind of like a funny story, because I had it really built up in my head, like, oh, this is going to be really dramatic.
And he, like a movie or something.
Yeah. And I walked in the living room, and he was reading, like, the newspaper or, like, a magazine or something. And I said, Dad, I'm bisexual. And he goes, well, you're young to know. And, like, that was it. Like, he wasn't, like, livid. And, like, he wasn't, like, jumping for joy either. Like,
yeah.
He was just kind of like, okay, like, this is a thing.
How did that make you feel?
in a way, I was grateful because I was like, I didn't expect him to be like, ah, yes, like, yeah, like, but, so I was like, you know what, like I have people in my life that will have that reaction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was like, as long as it's not like within the range of like, how dare you, you know, like I was okay with it. I was like, I know I'm going to be fine. So this is fine.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad has done like a lot of growing since I first came out, which I really appreciate a lot.
He's trying to understand who
right,
you are.
Right. And like at the end of the day, I tell so many people, like, for me, and I know this isn't the same for everyone, which is fine, but from my perspective, it's all about the try. As long as I know that someone is actively trying to accept me and to understand,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be mad because, again, everyone has a different story and a different background that they're coming from.
Yes.
So to just like expect someone to be able to do a full 180 on beliefs and perspectives about the world and everything like that is impossible.
I love that you bring that up because I feel that we're in such a polarizing time in our society right now where people feel like they have to pick a side and they have to be a certain way. But what about just trying to understand each other and see where right. we're coming from and trying to get the story of another person to understand, okay, this is why they are who they are and things like that, you know?
Right. Yeah. And so for me, it was like, okay, like then after I came out to my dad, I was like, all right, now I can come out to the rest of the world, which of course, because I was really deep in the Christian community, I was like, okay, now, like, it's no longer just, like, whether or not, like, I'm gaining, like, the approval of my family, but it's also, like, am I going to gain the approval of my community?
Mm.
And I was fortunate in the aspect of when I did come out, like, the people that were also a part of the Christian community, the only people that said anything were the supportive people. And then I'm assuming if anybody like wasn't about that, like
they weren't going to tell it to you.
They just kind of like, yeah, kept it to themselves, which I was like, okay, whatever.
Good. Keep it to yourself. Keep it like, to yourself, Karen.
I do not want to know. So when I came out as non-binary, I kind of like had like anticipation that it was going to be a bit more like that.
Yeah.
But this time it was harder because, you know, like I didn't even know like how necessarily my mother was going to respond. Especially when it came down to like my name,
mm-hmm.
because I like the name that I had previously was very feminine, like no doubt about it. Like when you said that name, it was like, oh, a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, well, like that doesn't really encompass my identity now. And that's not me saying like, I hate this name. Like
yeah.
I'm throwing it away. It just doesn't represent who I am.
Did you always feel that way or did that recently just...
That part of it came with time. I think I needed to accept the fact of what the base of the identity was
mm-hmm.
before getting into like the nitty gritty of like, okay, these are the pronouns I want. Like, this is the name that I think best encompasses myself.
Can you give us the name and the pronouns?
So my name is Lennon and I use
fucking love that
they, them pronouns.
Freaking love that.
And yeah, so I was like, yeah, this feels like me. And when I first came out to my parents, I just said the pronouns that I wanted to be referred to as.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm non-binary and I would like to use they, them pronouns. And they were like, yeah, that's fine. Like, just give us like some time to adjust. And I was like, yeah, like, because these people have known me for the entirety of my life and referred mm-hmm. to me as one way. So I'm like they're not just going to be able to undo like 20 years
of
this specific label mm-hmm. like overnight. So I was like, okay, like especially because they're my parents, I'm like, I'm going to give them like as much grace as they need
okay.
because I know that they're trying.
Yeah.
And it was the same with my grandparents, but I didn't mention the name at first because that I knew was going to be the hard part.
That was going to be the challenge.
And so when I finally did tell my parents, like I can remember asking my mother first and I said, Mom, would you please like call me by this name? And she knew that like I was having my friends call me by that name, but like I hadn't specifically asked her to do that yet. And so she started to cry and I was like,
okay. And she said, I knew this was coming, but please just give me some time. Because I talked about this with one of my colleagues, and it's kind of talking about, like, I've never been a parent, but this, like, I can understand the concept of, is because when parents give their child a name, it's not that they're envisioning the rest of their life, like, oh, they're going to become a doctor and they're going to, like, do X, Y, and Z. But they have a vision of, like, okay, like, when you graduate, like, high school, like, I'm going to say, like, oh, like, that's X name, like, my child.
Yeah.
And so they have this vision of, like, what they're going to call you for the rest of your life. And then when you ask...
That is really... Wow.
Yeah.
It's, like, all-encompassing of the vision that... I think I just picked up a piece of shit! Ah! Okay. Anyway. Sorry, y'all, but I just picked up some dog shit, I'm pretty sure. So...
No, that's a stick.
Okay. It's just a stick.
Yeah, that's a stick. Anyway.
There's that ADHD kicking in again. All right.
No, you're fine. But... So, like, after my parents... So, like, after, like, parents kind of, like, they have this vision, and then when their child comes and says, this is what encompasses my identity, it's not a, like, how dare you, like, have another name that encompasses your identity, but it's, like, they have to let go of, like, this vision of calling you that for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. Which I imagine is really difficult.
Yeah, and that and I kind of talked about with that with my mother, and she was like, yeah, because, you know, like they looked at me when I was born and they were like, this is your name. And so we sat there and we kind of talked about it, and I said, Mom, but would you be willing to, like, help me choose a middle name? Because I still wanted, you know, family involved in the process.
Yes.
And I didn't want it to seem like they didn't take it this way, but I didn't want it to seem like this is me, like, distancing myself from, like...
From your family in any
way.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So,
It's awesome that you included them in that process.
So, I said, but I would love it if you wanted to help me choose a middle name. And my mother said, well, I don't want to, like, this is your name.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I want it to encompass your identity. And I want you to choose something that feels right. And I said... Yeah, I know, but, like, if you have any suggestions, like, I'd love to hear it. And my mom says, well, you don't have to choose this by any means, but on her side of the family, there was a name that was frequently, I want to say, like, the middle name of many people, but also, like, a first name sometimes, and it was the middle or first name of both men and women.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, you know, it's the name Lind. And so I said, perfect, like, that's it. Like, so I was able to keep that familial aspect within my name, which I was very fortunate to do. And I was kind of glad that we had that
moment. 'Cause it connects you to your family.
Right. And so...
Through your own new identity.
Right. So once I had done that, I was like, okay, I'm ready to tell my dad this. And I did. And he also cried. Because, again, there's that aspect of, like, letting go of this, like, vision that you have for your child for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
And so he said, you know, like, it's really hard for me because, you know, he talked about my middle name used to be Grace. And he said, you know, like, that was, like, the grace of God for me. And
oh.
So I was like, yeah, like, I understand. And he was like, but you're still, like, keeping my last name. And I was like, of course I'm keeping the last name, James.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's no problem with that.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay, so, like, I'm still, like, represented
We're
in your
still
name.
Connected in
yes.
that way.
Yes. So, and then, you know, like, he came around. And, like, he had already started calling me Lennon anyway, but he was just, like, I think that was the moment where it, like, really hit him.
Mm-hmm. That was the turning point for him.
Yeah. And so, after that, like... It was kind of smooth sailing from then. And then I was like, well, I mean, I already have the main supports that are like, okay, cool. So, like, time to come out to the rest of the world. And then I did, and it went fine.
Mm-hmm.
And if it didn't go fine for some, I haven't heard about it, but here I am.
Yeah. So I want to hear in this process that you've gone through with telling the people that you love, telling your family, telling your friends, and also coming to the realization yourself that you are non-binary,
obviously it does present a set of challenges, right? Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, it presents a lot of power and a lot of strength. So right. Can you just talk about that? Can you talk about how you've been empowered by the process and what it's meant to you in that way?
Right. So it's empowered me in so many different ways. I think, honestly, 2020 has changed people for so many ways. Mm-hmm. But I think specifically for being non-binary and like coming out this year, what has changed for me in terms of being non-binary is obviously like I get misgendered on a daily. They're like, oh, like, hello, ma'am. And I'm like, not a woman, but, but I've become a lot more comfortable with like speaking up for myself and saying like, no, actually, like, you shouldn't be referring to me in this way.
Not putting up with anyone's BS.
Right. And it's like everyone deserves the baseline respect of mm-hmm. being referred the way that they want to be referred.
Absolutely.
And so when people, you know, like say the wrong pronoun, I'm like, no, actually, like this is my correct pronoun. Mm-hmm. But like, because I had that courage and that confidence that came from like, okay, this is no longer just a like, like I don't need to say anything. This is now a like,
I have to say something like, I about have this. To. I Otherwise, have to speak up.
Right.
People won't respect you and they won't
right.
call you what you want to be called.
Exactly. And so kind of coming from that, I soon felt empowered. Like I was like, I thought about like the paradigm of thinking about, okay, well, what are people saying when I'm not in the room? Mm-hmm. You know, and I think some people have this thought from time to time, like, well, what are people saying when I'm not around? And like, for me, it wasn't in a way of like, oh man, like, I hope nobody's like saying awful things about me behind my back or whatever. And it was more of a like, I hope people are just like doing the basic like dignity of like referring to me in the correct way.
Right.
And then I thought about like other communities in society that don't receive like the baseline respect that they should. Mm-hmm. And I thought about like my own privileges that I've had forever, you know, white privilege. Like for the majority of my life, I've had the privilege of being in the binary. And I thought about that and I was like, okay, so now that I'm non-binary and I have to correct people a lot more often, I can't imagine what it feels like for people who have had to do that their entire life and don't get the choice of like being able to withhold information about their identity
right,
or getting
it's in their physical, in their
right.
physicality.
Because it's right there. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, I can't imagine what it feels like to have to do that every single day. Because you learn about things like, you know, like Islamophobia and racism in school. Mm-hmm. But when you
not
don't...
Not enough, first of all.
Not enough, no. And also, you know, thinking about like... But like... There is that aspect of, like, you don't have to think about it as much when you have privilege. And so I was, like, so then I kind of got to the point where I was, like, I think about it, yeah, but, like, I don't think about it nearly as much as I should be, mm-hmm. you know? And so then, especially because during the summer when I was coming out, like, there was also everything happening with George Floyd and Black Lives Matter, and I began to realize very quickly, like, oh, the people I'm surrounded with actually aren't thinking about this at all or very minimally. So I was like, I don't want to be the reason that like people continue to like, I don't want people to be able to do these things in my presence.
Oh, I don't want to show them that this is not acceptable at right. all, especially when you're around me, this is not acceptable.
Right. I don't want to be the person in the other room that when people are talking and not showing the baseline respect, I don't want to be the person that doesn't say something.
You don't want to be the bystander.
Right.
So it empowered you to speak up, not
right.
only for yourself,
but for
your own identities, but for others.
Yeah.
That is so amazing. That is so amazing. That you not only have the courage to go through this process with coming out to everyone, with just being who you truly are does take a sense of courage.
Right.
But now you've decided you're going to be an advocate for other people as well.
Right. And like, I realized, you know, like I had tried to be like an ally to other communities before, but it was kind of like, and I'm kind of mad at myself that it took me like just being authentically who I am to like,
to realize,
to get to this point. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I kind of came to the,
like, to the point in my journey where I was like, okay, like, I can no longer, like, just stand in solidarity with the majority because it's easy.
Mm-hmm. You have to do the hard thing, but it's the right thing to do.
Right. So I became, so in order to actually, like, effectively, like, tell people, like, this isn't correct or whatever, I began to, like, educate myself in, like,
on other identities.
Right. And I began to be more intentional about showing up, because, you know, I also thought about the parts of my journey where I was like, man, I wish somebody would have shown up. And I was like, now, like,
it's your time to show up.
Right. It's always been time for me to show up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's really sad that it took me this long to realize, like, hey, like, it's time to go. Like, it's time to...
It's time to act.
Right.
No longer sitting in inaction, no longer not doing enough, doing everything that you can do to push forward your
right.
community, your identity, and to push forward the communities of others
right.
who are also marginalized in any way and oppressed in any way.
Right. Yeah.
And as a Black woman, more power to you, because it's hard. It really
yeah.
is hard. I'm an advocate for my own community, of mm-hmm. course. And when you're an advocate for your own community, it's really personal to you.
Yeah.
It's really personal, and it hits close to home when you see your own people being brutalized in the streets by police and
exactly
just society overall. But you have to remember, you have to stand up and fight, because you're fighting for your own people.
Right.
And you're fighting for the people that are going to come after you too.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And I think, you know, like, that is, like, the entirety of the truth, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? Because when you think about it, you know, when you're fighting for, like, any kind of equality or equity that is not happening in society, I think from my perspective, as I've kind of, like, learned more, it's like, okay, I may never see, like, the end of this kind of oppression in my lifetime, but I'm sure as hell going to fight so that at least the people that are coming next have some kind of foundation to go off of.
That is monumental, and we need a lot more people to think that way, I think, especially in this time that we're in. We're in such a vulnerable place, and if more than ever,
mm-hmm.
it is important that we come together and do those type of things and have these type of conversations.
Right.
So thank you so much, Lennon.
Of course.
For coming on to the podcast.
Yes, thank you so much
for having
me.
Final episode in the series. I truly, truly, truly hope that you all enjoyed this series. Please feel free to give me any sort of feedback. DM me on Instagram. Call me up, like, girl, you did a good job, or whatever. I really appreciate it. This has just been amazing. It really has. And as a creator, as a content creator, and a person who is an activist in so many different things, it helps me to feel like I'm helping others, giving others that platform to tell their stories, just like you, Lennon. And it's great, and it's been a wild ride, but I'm very appreciative for it. And thank you for coming on.
Yes, of course. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you.